Good morning, everyone, and a very warm welcome to our culminating call, day 8 of our 8-day Peace Team Training Camp. This is Sheva Carr, Director of Heart Mastery Program. A delight to be here with you. And we have with us Marilyn King, the inspirator, as I like to call you, Marilyn, of the 8-day Peace Team Training Camp, as well as Peace is the Only Gold, a project of pathways to peace. Marilyn, I know we're going to start with a peaceful resonance this morning, setting the seed of peace in our hearts through a heart focus on the culminating facet of the Peace Vision card. But before we do, is there anything you want to share, Marilyn, or speak to?
No, I think that's a terrific way to start, Sheva.
So just to do our Olympian review and preview, we could invite all of you to take a moment to notice your tolerance and appreciation of diverse beliefs yesterday and your spiritual practice and the place where reverence for life is fostered in your heart. Did you have opportunities yesterday to expand that? Where did that express itself in your experience yesterday? To read that again for those who are coming in a little late. Part of our Olympian review of yesterday's training. Did you have a chance to either recognize somewhere in the world or embody somehow in your own attitudes and response tolerance and appreciation of diverse beliefs? Spiritual practice and reverence for life. And as you explore yesterday in review, perhaps seeing as I am right now in this moment, places where your own mastery in tolerance and appreciation of diversity was challenged, and bringing compassion to yourself in that, knowing qualities like peace are also ideals, and the thing to know about working with an ideal is it's not a perfection to be strived for, but and to judge yourself against, but rather an inspiring bar to keep rising toward in higher and higher ratios. So appreciate yourself where you found an inner capacity to tolerate and appreciate diverse beliefs and to revere life, where you were capable of bringing that forward, and appreciate where you see your growth edge in that as an opportunity to bring more peace to the world through your own expansion. Take a moment just in that self-evaluation, self-inquiry, one of the things about our goal for peace, defining peace as the gold, is that while we've spent some time focusing on some of the measurable statistics that can point to peace, the energetic resonance of subjective feelings of peace is something only you can measure in your own being. So to define peace as the gold requires some introspection, some contact with your inner self, which is why yesterday's focus, spiritual practice encouraged, if you see spiritual practice as some focus on an inner sense of self, is crucial on the facets of the diamond of peace. Just allowing yourself, if the word spiritual practice is intimidating for you, you don't know what that means or conjures up struggles with meditation and how you decided long ago that's not for you, don't worry about the words. In this moment, all it means is review your day yesterday. Where was your reverence for life? And appreciate that that's an inherent part of your nature to revere life. And where was that compromised? Where was it difficult for you, as it was for me, to tolerate and appreciate other people's beliefs, even though that was your intention, without judging yourself? Appreciate that you have a growth edge that could be a place where more peace could come through you. Get excited about that. Where, now segueing from our review into our preview, where perhaps humanity's greatest challenge to peace is one another, to quote Anne Frank from her diary, just weeps. Or she was captured by the Nazis and ultimately killed. She said, "I know I could find peace in my heart and be perfectly content in the world if there were no other people living in the world." This challenge of how to be with others, to live with our neighbors in peace, is perhaps the greatest evolution of our souls. And so the challenge itself is something we can make peace with, because it is part of our growth process at a spiritual level.
My dog.
Oopsie.
Oopsie. So where our interactions with other people can show us our growth edge toward peace, for the majority of people I know, nature and natural beauty is an immediate access to the oasis of peace. And this brings us to the final visionary point on the peace vision card from Pathways to Peace. I want to invite each of you to take a moment to recall some of your favorite places in the natural world. If you have photographs of them, pull them up. Get the photo, pull it up on your computer. If you have some sense memory of that place, as I have some rocks from those places or touchstones of another sort, and they're near to you, get them. and take a moment to connect as you focus your attention and your heart with these favorite places, these sacred places on the earth which connect you to the abundance and bounty of the gifts of the natural world and the beauty of nature. Recall the smells of your favorite places in nature. How it feels to be in those places. I recently went on an overnight camping, hiking, biking trip with no tent to one of my favorite places in nature, where at least once a year I try to sleep under the stars and remember living off the land that everything we need has always been provided for by the earth itself. It's so easy to forget that when we think we need the man-made luxuries we've built out of nature, on nature's back. But there is a peace that is unprecedented that I've felt in my own system when I remember that the earth itself is like an all-inclusive vacation, and we've forgotten that the land provides everything. So just take this pause in the peace yielded in the remembrance of the bounty nature gives us. Too often in our modern world, our peace is compromised by the fact that we rely on our man-made luxuries and experience the natural world as a threat to them in disaster, and forget that nature itself is the source of everything we need and have. So as you soak yourself in your peaceful connection to your favorite places in nature, focusing your attention on the heart, breathing in through the heart and out through the heart, your love and the peace you find in your favorite places. Even my father, who hated ants and bugs so much he would never even have a picnic, was awed into silence as we walked through Muir Woods together. And he, a devout atheist, who swore that there couldn't be a God because the world was such a mess, turned to me and said, "This is a true church." So as you appreciate the natural world, I invite you to imagine a world where the earth in all her natural beauty is treasured, as you are treasuring her now. And as you see yourself in your favorite place in nature, recognizing how nature itself is sustainable. It's the nature of nature. And in appreciating the beauty and sustainability of the natural world, imagining a world where humanity's relationship to that becomes synchronized with it insofar as our own practices are sustainable, that this beauty and the resources of the natural world are preserved and made sustainable for all future generations of humanity. And with this vision that you are making real in this moment by who you're being, by your care and appreciation focus, then you could also call into your awareness and appreciation focus human sustainability practices that are beginning to honor and become in sync with the earth. This is pervasive now. Solar power was a cutting edge when I was a kid. It was so expensive, my parents who wanted to buy it for our home couldn't. Now, it's so the norm. We were at a block party. You have to imagine there's like 5 people that live on my block here, more squirrels than people. And several of them happened to work in the solar industry with Israel. Where do you see sustainability practices happening already that are bringing humanity into peaceful harmonic with nature rather than fighting with it? Add those to your appreciation focus as you appreciate your favorite places in the natural world. These places of oasis that give you peace as other areas challenge you to work for peace, both valid and beautiful opportunities for the growth of your soul. Marilyn, anything you want to add to this care focus before we use this as our space to be held in the culminating call today and look to what's next?
Well, just thank you, Sheva. You do such a beautiful job. And as you were taking us on that wonderful journey, the thought came to my mind, it's with the environment as my focus, it's like peace is everywhere. And it reminded me of a just terrific documentary I saw recently called Saving the Bay, in which 2 women from here in the San Francisco Bay Area saw what was happening to the bay and joined with just a few others, and everyone called them naive and thought it was foolish, but it is an incredibly inspiring story of what the original energy of these 3 women has actually, in fact, saved the bay, and that we've moved into restoring the bay and we'll move into preserving the bay for this and future, all future generations. So when I look around, I just see, you know, these kinds of things that are happening, and just wanting people to know and be inspired by what others are doing. So thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for bringing that forward, Marilyn. I have that on my movies to watch list, thanks to you. And because I live in the Bay Area and have a deep love of the Bay and spend a lot of time with it, and donate often to Save the Bay. When I bring my own grocery bags to the grocery store, and they give us chips that equal, you know, the store then donates the money saved in not giving me grocery bags to Save the Bay. And I didn't realize, you know, it was been such a permanent fixture in my awareness. Who knew that someone, just one person like me, started that not so long ago, and again, brings us to the power of one.
Yes. And another wonderful resource is something I saw called The Perfect Place for Life. Just a whole beautiful, beautiful storytelling of what a special planet Earth is. And it's just one of those things I think should be part of everyone's education, is to be able to see from that perspective. So thank you for taking us on this journey this morning, Sheva.
Thank you, Marilyn, and thank you for these practical examples. We also have someone who went through our Heart Mastery program, which is really designed to help each person find their own unique heart-blueprinted purpose in the world, and something that arose from our very first person that signed up for Heart Mastery was he was sitting in his culminating retreat on top of a volcano on the Big Island of Hawaii, and he realized he needed to transition as a scientist from the work he was doing to working with Nobel laureates on cold fusion and solar and other things to to help us overcome what he calls our crude oil addiction. And he called it moving beyond fire, moving beyond burning things for energy. So he founded the Moving Beyond Fire Institute, and they are doing remarkable things. You can look them up at beyondfire.org. So extraordinary. These are just, you know, little spoonfuls of an ocean of a movement of sustainability that is happening that we can give our attention to.
And Sheva, I think that what you just said is actually one of the important points in terms of this peace team training camp that we've been doing, which is that when you dive into any one of these areas, you find incredible, inspiring, thoughtful, passionate people who are looking for the trim tab, looking for the thing that they can do that will make a difference. And so much of this is under the radar and not seen, or seen as just a feel-good moment. But when you take each of these peace points and you dive in and even become somewhat familiar, if not even well-educated, in any or each of these areas, you just, I can't imagine that anyone's, you know, hopes would not be raised by the story of someone who took a plastic, you know, quart or whatever it is, Coke container, and turned it into a light bulb and providing light in places in shanty towns that never had electricity before. People couldn't read and study at night in terms of going to school. And these are not individual, nice, feel-good stories. These are part of, I don't know if David Wick is on the phone, but one of the things he said, I'm sure many have said it, but he said, you know, Marilyn, the shift is on. The shift is on, and we are alive and awake at this time. So it's just so inspiring, but it's happening.
You know, Marilyn, you're reminding me of one of my current favorites, which is, and you'll appreciate the sports connection, two women graduating from Harvard created a new product called Socket. Have you seen this?
No.
It's a soccer ball that has an outlet in it. And it is charged all day by kids playing with it and kicking it. And as it's kicked, the energy of the kicks builds the charge in the battery inside, and then they can take it home at night and plug in a lamp or plug in an iPhone or whatever and study off it.
Oh, I love it. I love it.
Obama has actually pre-ordered 1 million of them for distribution in developing countries where there's a lack of electricity. And so you imagine if these two young women, newly college graduated, could figure out that kids kicking a ball can create electricity.
Yes.
How we can be free of our crude oil addiction. Think of the possibilities of how we are self-generating and sustainable all the time. For that matter, the human heart itself, which no mechanical or electrical engineer has ever been able to replicate, in that it puts out more power than it takes in.
Yes.
We are our own miracles of sustainability, awaiting discovery and the full manifestation of our power.
Well, I love that piece that you bring so powerfully and deeply, Sheva, about the heart. And it's been such a just a wonderful journey for me to be training partners with you, and you know, just knowing that we are harnessing, you know, the technology of, you know, who we are, our body, mind, and spirit in alignment. And, you know, it's the shift is on, and it just so many people are out there looking for the answer to how can I accelerate this shift. So this has been a delicious journey.
So that being said, Marilyn, it seems a wonderful time for us to segue into what's next. Any good coach, if at the end of a training camp, what happens now? Because I know one of the most vulnerable times for an athlete is off season. That's the time to start really managing your diet and self-discipline in exercise and all of that as an athlete, because if you want to make next year's team, or in the case of the Olympics, you've got 4 years in between. How do you manage those in-between zones, knowing our next training camp will launch with Peace Day? So how, what support is here in between, and how do we want to support these folks moving forward?
Well, I'm smiling here, Sheva, knowing that sports is not your first domain for metaphors. And as you were speaking, I thought, it would have been really nice to have an off season as an Olympian. That there really feels like there is no such thing, that there were like 10 days in one stretch in any given year. But what's true is that it was important to weave the kind of rest and recovery and rejuvenation and nourishment into your daily practices. While there may not have been a large off-season, but the kind of off-season and what you did choose to do was completely dictated by the ever-present focus that never went away, that I could be in the Olympics, or I could win 8 gold medals, or whatever it is. That, you know, for me, you know, why would I take a vacation from being peace, from feeling peace, from accelerate, you know, just it's like, who wouldn't want to be an Olympian in every moment? And it doesn't mean that you're always, you know, running to the top of the stadium steps, but that it is something that comes from inside you and is always, always seeking its expression. So I really treasure the work that you have brought, and that I look forward to being on the journey with you in terms of, as I'm learning to use the tools of heart mastery to quiet my left brain, which is what leads me and drives me so much in terms of my daily action. So my thought, Sheva, is there are a few things that I wanted to just go back and pick up as threads.
Before you do, Marilyn, I just want to click on the best practice you just gave us, because it's very important. And certainly in the arenas in which I work, it is also true that the vulnerability to sort of collapse after a training camp, to go back into old habits, is one that you want to avert, because the momentum has been built now. And the peace, the best practice you're giving us, Marilyn, ties directly into this peace card value of sustainability. That you don't want to just always sprint, but as you said, Marilyn, to build into whatever your gold goal is in your practice, time for regeneration. And I can't imagine a more pertinent place for that to be than in a peace practice. So that's something for all of you to imagine. What will make your attention to peace the vacation itself? How can you build that as a regeneration practice? Certainly for Marilyn and I, it is. There is no day off from peace. Because peace is the regeneration. So what does that look like for each of you? And I just wanted to amplify and highlight what you said and tie it to how beautifully it fits with the peace card today.
Yes, yes. And I, the part that's connected here for me, Sheva, is as people who have been on this call know, that there was just one moment for me in which a set of things happened and this crazy thought emerged that I could be in the Olympics. And it was a crazy thought. There were all of these logical reasons and rationales why that was a foolish thing. And yet I couldn't shake the thought. And it was that thought. It was awakening each day with that thought that I could, maybe just the slightest chance that I could be in the Olympics, would have my mind leap to, you know, well, what does that mean? How could that possibly be? Look where I am right now. What could I do today? And when that occurred for me relative to peace, the same thing happened. It became an unshakable thought. And for me, it occurred as we could see peace in my lifetime. We could see the next evolution of peace in my lifetime. And despite how crazy and ridiculous and all of the rationales and all of the evidence out there that I saw on the news seemed like a crazy thought, I could not shake the thought. And thank goodness, you know, for Avon Madison and Pathways to Peace and the International Day of Peace, because in 1983 I got to, with wide-eyed awe, not exactly knowing how it was that I could, within weeks of that thought, be standing on the stage in downtown San Francisco, you know, on the International Day of Peace, and opening up to this incredible community of the Brahma Kumaris who had been in 123 countries, gathering from people what their vision of a better world is, and for me to see in this book that people all talk about the same things. If we need passion, vision, and action, I believe the desire to live in peace and the desire to do something is there. But look, we actually have a common vision. People talk about the same things. So it just seems so clear to me that what I was being led to do, what the trim tab was for me, was that if people could see that we have the same goal and be clear about where we are, that for them too they would begin to see what they could do. And it just launched me on this whole journey that led me to a Ted Turner international gathering called the Citizen Summit. And I met with Elena Petushkova from the Soviet Union, and the notion of the peace team was born. And Sheva and people on this call, I swear to you, I have been so far above my head in just being pulled into this world of extraordinary people who have been thinking about these things and who have found their trim tab. For some, it was population. Until we solve this, nothing else matters. And we should be celebrating them on Peace Day. We should all know who they are. For others, it was about hunger. For others, about educating women. For transparency, it was about transparency and accountability. So people have been finding their trim tab and playing their role on this invisible peace team. And I think part of what we get to do now is to turn on the light so that we can see. So that we can see why we may not have seen one another as members of the same team. Because you're working on education and I'm working on renewable energy and whatever. But we are all part of this same team that has this near universal desire to live in a world that works for all. And that we now have the kind of technologies that you share, Sheva, and things that I know from my, you know, experience and expertise in exceptional human performance, that we are all wired in a very particular way. And when we take the passion that we have, when we are connected to it, and we understand that the mind and the brain is designed that if you envision your gold every day, your brain will and your body will say, what are you talking about? How could that possibly be true? And that is the opening. That is the place where the answers begin to come, the new answers come. I was amazed when I stepped into education and found that people who found that that was the trim tab in this country have determined in the United States that if a child is not reading up to grade level by third grade, it is a slippery slope into a potentially negative lifestyle and scenario. But we can mobilize in my community to make sure that the elementary schools down the street from me, that every third grader is reading at grade level. So people who have found the trim tabs for themselves around large issues like hunger or education have found the trim tabs within each and every one of these. And for me, as a member of the peace team, it's important for me to know and to not be standing on my own foot or doing things that are detrimental to those that have found trim tabs. And it's one of the reasons why I love the Peace Wheel, and there's a document that I created and have posted where you can see the earth in the middle. You can see these peace points around the edge and this arrow that's coming across. And it was only yesterday that I saw that, oh, these are what we might call trim tabs, the kinds of things that affect everything. We're looking for those core central things that when I focus my attention on this, many things change. So when I think about the peace team, Sheva, and what we can do going forward, you know, it is both, you know, what is the knowledge, what is the information, what are the skills, the attitudes, and the behaviors? Who are the people I want to know in these different peace point areas so that I can know what they're doing and anything that I can do to align around governance, like having a meeting at my home and asking people to come with information about things on the ballot so I can be more well-informed. So as a team, being really clear about what the goal is, knowing who the other players are, knowing how you can support them, but also being clear about what is your trim tab. And making sure that you are developing your own daily practice. And for me, this conversation that we have stepped into, Sheva, around the notion of team and what team brings to the notion of peace, is just an exciting and exquisite, Gene Houston calls it jump time. You know, I think we're in jump time right now. And being able to have feedback on a daily basis, on a regular basis, and using the International Day of Peace as a day to celebrate the wonderful accomplishments along all of the pathways to peace and to celebrate the peace builders in our communities, and to hold up the peace builders who are working globally and systemically. So I'm looking forward to what emerges out of this, Sheva, and my invitation to people is, in whatever form it works for you, to really begin your day the Olympian way, as best I know, is to envision our goal. Be really clear about what you mean by peace. What are the contributing factors, and what is it that you can do to be in alignment with that? And what I think is important for us to be building now is that place where we can use mobile technology, and I can have something happen that I do that I'm proud of in a given day and send it up to the cloud, and that people can see that more points have been scored today for the peace team. So I'm looking forward to developing these notions that are already present, like a peace wave, and stopping every day, and perhaps, you know, sending up to the cloud the points that you have scored today, so that we can make peace visible, so that people can be inspired. And I'm not sure quite where to go from there, Sheva, but...
Well, and the cloud that you can send it up to is the one that lives on the Facebook cloud.
Yes.
The wonderful cloud of the World Wide Web. Because the Facebook page isn't going anywhere. It's there for us to continue to dialogue. So there are a number of things here to continue to support you. For those of you who are new to this conversation and this daily call, it is ongoing in what I have found to be a crucial trim tab for me in the world, which is, can we really have outer world peace if we don't know what it means to be peaceful inside our own hearts? Those of you that heard me quote Aya from Palestine, who said, it was my plan to become a suicide bomber because I didn't believe peace was possible until I felt it right now in my own heart, and now I know peace is real. So cultivating peace in our own hearts as we deal with those neighbors is a crucial crucial trim tab that we can all contribute to. And so these calls, called the Heart Start calls, happen every Monday through Friday, 8:30 to 9 a.m. Pacific time, and you can join them. We will post a link in the Facebook page where if it supports you to gather in a team and train together, there's an opportunity to do that. And we'll continue posting resources in the Facebook page. I want to read this quote to speak to that trim tab of the vigilance to your own peace inside, from Mother Teresa. Peace and war begin at home. If we truly want peace in the world, let us begin by loving one another in our own families. If we want to spread joy, we need for every family to have joy. How do we do that? That's the question. These beautiful spiritual ideals that saints and sages have spoken to for millennia and pointed toward peace with their words, their fingers, their hearts. What's the how-to? How do we practically get there? That, for me, is the trim tab that the beautiful research done by the Institute of HeartMath provides us, a step-by-step method from which we can reliably resource peace inside ourselves again and again and again in any circumstance. And as we do, that further activates the centers of the brain that recognize and respond to and create peaceful conditions. In other words, to find your pathway to peace may require creating peace inside first. So the resources of HeartMath and HeartMastery as one vehicle to that, certainly not the only vehicle, are posted in the Facebook page. I'll offer another that was really two others, actually, that were my personal pathway to peace. One was the teaching of Ramana Maharishi, and Ramana was a 16-year-old boy who whose father died. He was out, in fact, playing soccer. These days it could have been a socket. And he was out playing soccer when it was discovered that his father died. And he was just a normal kid, and he was so devastated and so terrified and horrified that in one moment life was there and another it was gone. He did something that's not so normal for a teenager. Instead of ruminating in that or becoming angry, and he decided to meet his fear directly. So he laid down on the floor of his bedroom and asked to die, because death terrified him so much, he sought it out. He wanted to meet his fear. And what he discovered in that moment was what doesn't die. He discovered what some would call eternal consciousness. For others, that would send them running in another direction, those words. So I'll leave it to you what was discovered by the name he was given by the people around him. He never sought to be a teacher of any sort. He simply awoke to the peace at the heart of his being that is free of all terror and all circumstances. And so that was the name he was given. The word Ramana means that which lies at the heart of all being. And in his lineage, there is a teacher named Gangaji who was my introduction to peace, to the real subjective feeling of peace and the freedom that is accompanied with it. So we can post that there, and I encourage each of you to post your access codes to peace. There are many ways to dial into this call. Some of you used your computer, some used Skype, some used telephones with landlines, others iPhones. There are many ways, many pathways to peace. We don't need to argue about the pathways. We simply need to walk our own.
And I love that you have opened the invitation for people to have a team and a support structure for their daily practice that's about the internal connection. And it reminds me that one of the things I'm in discussion about that I will keep people posted on through Facebook is the possibility of doing a similar thing with the external, that we are in discussion about taking the peace points and each month focusing on one of them. And with that peace point, that focus, being really clear, being in discussion about that as a team, about the clarity about that peace point and what it means, what it is you can do locally, what's happening globally, and the kinds of actions people are taking, and the possibility of being a team. And while we have our individual external focuses, that we may be using the peace points on the peace card as a way to bring a team together with a monthly focus. So one of the possibilities to be launched on Peace Day this year.
Do you know, Marilyn, I just looked at the calendar. There are exactly 9 weeks between right now and International Day of Peace. We could take 8 of those weeks and focus on each point on the peace card for a week in our Facebook group, and perhaps even put together a gathering if there's interest to meet weekly and focus on that. But this would be a real committed group, you know, a group that is willing to commit not just their time but their daily practice, their homework, and perhaps even some investment in some of these organizations that are contributing to the unfoldment of peace. So that's just a spontaneous idea. Marilyn and I haven't huddled around this, but it seems too perfect that we've got 9 weeks, one of which I'll be doing peace-building practices with girls from Israel and Palestine. So 8 available weeks between now and International Day of Peace.
Well, how elegant, Sheva, that we could have moved from, you know, one day, right?
Yes, 8 days or 8 days training camp to 8 week peace training camp.
To go to 8 weeks and then to go to 8 months launching on Peace Day. Oh,
if you're interested, you could post a note on the Facebook page and we'll see what the draw is for that. But I'm open to it because at this time I cannot think of a more important life focus than peace.
And Sheva, if it works for you, I would love to hear from people, just if they could very briefly share with others on the call just, you know, one thing that has struck them, mattered to them, that was helpful or useful to them in this last 8 days. Is that something that makes
Absolutely.
Sense?
Absolutely. And how your life may have changed or anything about your peace path, your pathway to peace would be wonderful.
I'm going to ask people to be succinct so that we can hear from not as many people as possible, but so that, you know, as many as would like to share briefly have the opportunity to do so.
So I will open the lines in a moment. One thing I do want to remind everyone is the Facebook page is an equal playing field. It's not a website Marilyn and I own. It is like one of those sacred spaces in nature, a place that is holding us all in our intention for peace, and each of you is an equal player there. Some of you, Joni, I'm speaking to you in particular right now, but others as well, have written to me saying, can you post this there or change this or do that? And in fact, each of you are equal players in that domain. So if you have something to post, as Joni, I think you have an even more beautiful representation of the peace card, please go to the file section and post it there. You can definitely do that. Post your ideas, post your documents, your vision as they relate to peace. It is a space holding us all in our common goal for the goal of peace. And that being said, Marilyn?
Do open the line, but I also want people to know that the complexity of the conversation about peace, I have a goal to help kind of create some form or structure on the page so that if you're specifically interested in one of the particular piece points, that there may be a way to be in dialogue about that one. So we're looking to create some kind of order and structure that might make it easier for people to engage the aspects they are most interested in.
So, and again, just a reminder, you can manage your own muting by pressing 6. Is there anyone who would like to share or ask a question?
I would like to share. My name's Amanda.
Hi, Amanda.
Hello. I would like to say thank you so much from the bottom of my heart for reigniting a passion for me. So thank you.
Oh, I'm so glad your passion has been reignited. That's beautiful.
Nothing better than that. Nothing better than that. Yahoo. Thank you, Amanda.
Thank you.
And I'd like to share. This is Karen.
Good morning, Karen.
Good morning, everyone. This was really an amazing journey. And the two things that really stood out for me, like Amanda, was just to reignite what my passion might be, even if I don't know it today, just to give it space to find, you know, room in my life to touch that again. And the review and the preview, powerful for me. Good, good stuff. Thank you, Marilyn and Sheva.
A friend of mine says that if you don't know what your passion is, then your passion should be to discover what your passion is.
Love it. Perfect.
Hi. Hi, Sheva and Marilyn. It's Sherry. I want to thank you for this awesome camp. My kids aren't at camp. I got to go to peace camp, too. But I wanted to say that peace starts from within, and every time you meet your life challenges and go back into your heart, you go deeper and deeper, and that spirals out to higher mind and higher ideas and brings peace around. And I just want to say that, yes, peace starts from within. I know from my own experience. And then you can meet whatever comes your way and build, go deeper and stronger in the heart, and then you can be the peace for the world. So I've experienced it, and I want to thank both of you. It was awesome. Thank you.
Thank you, Sherry.
Hi, this is Julie. I'd love to share. Marilyn and Sheva, thank you so much. And Marilyn, you were saying, you know, you wanted to hear how this has altered things for people, and it's really brought home to me, it kind of is building on what Sherry just said, but the power that we all have personally, you know, to really dive in to peace. Before this camp, I wasn't really thinking of what I could, peace almost seemed like, oh, something for world powers to figure out, and really recognizing the broadening what peace actually means and bringing it home to the personal and the daily, and especially what you were talking about today, the daily practice, how I have such an opportunity in each moment to affect the peace in the world by what I'm doing. So thank you.
That's such a wonderful notion right there, that when people realize that you every day have the opportunity to increase the peace, and that the things that you're doing, both mindfully and not mindfully, are either moving us in the direction, in the evolution of peace, or, you know, being an anchor to that. So that each of us, every day, can increase the peace, to me, is so exciting. And to be able to see one another and be inspired by one another, as you know, just has me pretty excited about this moment in time. So thank you.
Thank you.
This is Terry, and I'd like, can you hear me?
Yeah, great. Thank you, Terry.
I wanted to share my facet on the Peace Diamond frequency, and that is that deeper place of listening for the peace, not only in me, but in others and you know, around me. So I've come to like upping my literacy, listening language rate, which I'm just so excited about, and that's really affected how I am in the world with in relationship with others. So thank you both to just a wonderful. Yeah, it was really fun to be at a peace camp.
This is Sharon, and thank you, Marilyn, and thank you, Sheva, for the work and the energy that you have joyfully and peacefully shared these past 8 days. And I just finished sharing many of your beautiful posts on the Facebook, onto my Facebook page, and I'm so excited that I had that opportunity to do that. Peace is so important, and for me, what I've taken from this is even a deeper commitment to peace within myself. And Marilyn, I'm so inspired by you, by your work, by all that you have done, and especially you are so inspiring to me for what you did when you were not well, when you could not physically train. I'm just awestruck by you, by what you did as you focused your attention, as you practiced through your heart, through your spirit for the Olympics for the third time. I'm going to be giving a talk, and if you don't mind, I want to include your story in that. You're just wonderful, and thank you again, Sheva, and thank you, Marilyn, for all that you have done. Thank you for the peace.
Thank you for sharing that, and you're welcome.
Hello, this is Susie. Can you hear me?
Mm-hmm. Loud and clear.
Hi, I'm practically in tears when I start to speak because you've reminded me of the community that I belong in. I've done a couple of the heart math courses, and I would love to become a provider. But the thing that struck me and validated me is in the beginning when you talked about identify your passions and investigate and learn, which is what I've been doing for years, things that I'm passionately concerned about, what's happening in the skies above us. And just serendipitously, a notice came out from a town in Kelowna, north of where I live, asking people to write their ML, to write the Minister of Environment about the chemtrailing that's going on over the Okanagan Valley. So I did something, finally, and wrote a letter to her that is a very good letter, and I will post it on the Facebook page. But it's so inspirational, and it's so wonderful to know that we have your support. You are the bones of the community, I think, that we are adding to our structure. And I just thank you both so much. It's been a really wonderful experience. Thank you.
Thank you, Susie.
Yes, I love the energy of structure that you bring in. Working with polarity therapy, which is another amazing peace practice that I love deeply, that brings a quality of peace to the body as well as the emotions, as well as the energy fields. They look at the different elements. And structure, being the earth element, is a crucial part of creating peace. So I love how you appreciated the structure. It's part of the tipping point and the shift that's happening on the planet today, because the earth itself is a structure. that physicists see in terms of 64 tetragrammatons, the sacred geometric level, and structure, therefore, is meant to hold and support life. And when structures become so rigid or so distorted and corrupt that they cannot support the flow of life, when there's not a reverence for life in the structures, then they lose their larger purpose and it's time for them to collapse. And that is what we see happening on a mass scale around the world, the collapse of structures that have lost their capacity to support life. So I thank all of you for joining us in this 8-day structure and bringing your life force to it, because you never know if a structure will support life force or impede it until you try it out. So this was an experiment Marilyn and I decided to do, and it's all of you that made it a success.
And I'd like to thank everyone who joined us, and you know, whoever you trusted and thought that this was a good place to invest your time and, you know, your thoughtful sharing and all the different places it took you. I wanted to leave. I had this thought. My plan to the future is to engage the part of Olympians that through mythology, that Olympians were seen as messengers. And I definitely feel like I am a messenger. And the message that I want to bring is not just that we can make it, but I really believe that we are going to make it. And if you look around, you can see all the ways and things people are doing in that speak to that we are making it. And when I work with young people, I wanted to leave people on the call with this. I would like to be a mischievous messenger and kind of poke people and provoke people and get them, you know, kind of so they're, you know, out of their comfort zone and into thinking new things. And when I work with young children, one of my favorite things to do with them, I don't know how many people on the call are familiar with the movie Space Jam, but it's a movie that was made for children and had an NBA basketball player and Disney-type cartoon people. It was beautifully done. And there's a very popular song that comes from it called, I'm not exactly sure what the name of the song is, the song lyrics, I asked kids in terms of, you know, the song is, you know, I believe I can fly. And when you ask them what the most important line in the song is, you know, most of them, you know, and I ask them to sing it, and, you know, they sing out loud, you know, I believe I can fly, I believe I can touch the sky. And I tease them and provoke them, and I say, that's a really important message and so forth, but I think the next line is the one that's most important. And after those two lines, that I believe I can fly, I believe I can touch the sky, how many of you know the next line? The next line is, and it's just this, I'm not a singer, but she sings, I think about it every night and day. And for me, that is, you know, the essence of Olympian thinking, that you begin your day the Olympian way, and whatever it is you hold deeply and dearly in your heart, that you think about it every night and day in ways that enhance who you are and who we are. And I just feel very blessed and grateful to have been part of this journey. And thank you, Sheva, for suggesting that we do this.
So the culmination of our 8-day peace team training camp is that it's not a completion, but a launch pad.
Nicely said.
So is there anyone else who would like to share what your pathway to peace being launched into is, or a vision you hold for International Peace Day before we complete our time together in this remarkable 8-day journey?
Hi, Sheva. My vision is to help the children of be in the new world and help them. We didn't have these skills as children to shift and shine and to manage our hearts, and I want to help them at young ages be prepared for the future. So that's something I wanted to say.
Thank you.
Well, this reminds me of how my time at the United Nations in March completed. I had spent an incredibly uplifting and devastating and amazing time there, soberly confronting the status of the violence against women for 10 days. And on my last day there, decided to go into the UN gift shop to bring back some trinkets for the donors that had made it possible for me to be there. Unknowingly walking into a United Nations building, if you can imagine, if you haven't been in the building, it is a vast building. It's like walking into a stadium with thousands of teenagers who were there completing their model UN. And they were all wearing suits and carrying signs representing their different countries, excited and running around, introducing new friends to one another. And as we, as I was maneuvering on that last day at the UN, I ended up not buying any trinkets. I realized the reason I needed to pay one last visit was to see the future there. So, Sherry, thank you for your pathway to peace involving the pathways of the people of the future. And may all our lives, as Maddie Stepanek said, be creating a better history that will be told tomorrow. Thank you so much for giving your attention to these calls to that end. Marilyn, as the inspirator, instigator, any final words?
If you could see me, the words are written across my face. A big smile, and just I have been inspired by and delighted by this work, and I look forward to what we will do together, Sheva, and this community of people that you are connected to. And the image that I often have is that I have been carrying this relay baton that was given to me by those who did their best and handed it to me, and I have been doing my best, and I am so ready to pass this baton on to the young people, because they will take this relay baton of peace into places that we could not have imagined, given the tools that they now have. So thank you all.
Yes, thank you all. Much love, everyone. And we are continuing to be available in the Facebook page. You can reach out to us directly. You can write to me, Sheva, S-H-E-V-A, at heartambassadors.com. And you can find Marilyn at www.waybeyondsports.com. As we continue to evolve, much love, everyone.
Thank you, Marilyn, Sheva.
Much love. Big hugs. Thank you.
Namaste.
Bye for now, everyone.
Bye, Marilyn.